Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Press Start podcast. I'm your host, as always, Stuart Lang, and alongside me, as it's becoming usual now, is Liam Morrow. Liam, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Yeah, good.
Excellent. So, we've got a couple of weeks' worth of shows lined up for you already, guys. So, we're going to do the first part of this now. And what we're going to be talking about is kind of little things that in games, either specific features that have only been in one game, or little things that we like about gaming, things that make us happy about gaming, because, you know, it's quite easy to be negative, especially in this sort of community. It can get quite toxic. You know, look at the sort of people talking about Andromeda, for example. I don't want to get into that, but, you know, the backlash to Andromeda was so bad that it's looking like we're now not going to get a new Mass Effect game. So fuck you guys, thanks, because Andromeda wasn't...
Fuck you.
Yeah, Andromeda wasn't great, but, like, I'd rather have had another one than never have to deal with it again. You know, the gameplay wasn't actually that bad. I actually quite enjoyed most of the game. So yeah, thanks very much. They're not even going to give the developers the opportunity to make better on their mistakes, and they are just canning it. So, congratulations. Hope you got what you wanted, you bunch of assholes. Anyway, all that negativity out now, we are going to be looking at little positives. So, just to get us started, to get us sort of into it, I am going to say about what I still think is one of the most underrated game mechanics I've ever encountered in a video game, and it's from Mafia 2. And it was a speed limiter in the cars. And it's amazing how much difference that makes to, like, an open world sandbox kind of game where, you know, you're having to drive around a lot. You're like, say, GTA, even you could include Saints Row if you really want. When you're in certain missions, it helps to have everything calmed down a little bit. You know, especially in Grand Theft Auto. I mean, I've been drifting in and out of that recently, having not played it since it came out again. And, it, like, I'm struggling with the car mechanics in it. So, you know, just a press of the button and all of a sudden you're completely stuck to the speed limit. It makes everything a little bit less wild. I loved it. I get why people would probably say, but that's not the point of Grand Theft Auto. Well, sometimes it is the point of Grand Theft Auto, actually. Tail that car, don't get spotted, do this, do that, don't get... Sometimes I want to be able to get from point A to point B without my car ending up on its roof and three wanted stars, you know? And that's one thing. So, Liam, did you play Mafia 2? Did you encounter this mechanic at all?
I've heard of it. I haven't actually played any of the Mafia games. Not through a hatred or anything like that. I've just generally not got round to it. But I know what you mean. Like, in, you know, sort of Grand Theft Auto, sometimes you just want to drive. You don't want to crash into everything. And let's face it, in GTA, the car handling isn't that great most of the time.
Yeah, precisely.
You know, you think you get something that's akin to a Porsche or a Ferrari or something like that. Yes, it's fast, but the slightest bend and, yeah, you're dying, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
The windscreen or something like that.
Well, that's even more apparent in GTA 5. You know, I'd actually forgotten how easy it is to end up through the windshield of your cars in GTA 5.
The handling's dreadful.
Yeah, so just that sort of little thing I really liked. One that I know I don't know, you're actually probably a good person to tell me if I'm right or wrong in liking this mechanic. I believe it's from Assassin's Creed Revelations, where if you walk near enough to somebody you're having a conversation with, you kind of sync up with them. And you can let go of your controller, except for, I think, the A button or something. Or do you even need to hold it? I don't know. I'm trying.
No, you don't have to hold anything.
So, yeah, so you can just kind of autopilot. Loved it. I think that's great. So yeah. I don't know if you agree with that.
There was a similar one in Red Dead Redemption. If you're on a horse and you're talking to someone, you can just sort of canter alongside them and it will just follow them for you, so you don't have to concentrate on it.
Yeah, exactly. Or, yeah, it's when you sort of, you overshoot them, or you, you know, I found that with like the earlier Assassin's Creeds, when I was replaying the Ezio trilogy, you had the likes of, you know, you're talking to the, I forget which one now, because I played them all back to back, when you're talking to the prostitutes, and you're having to walk and talk with them, and it's it gets a bit frustrating, you know, because your character's automatic walk is already twice the speed of their automatic walk. So
yeah,
just
so
giving
you
something. Yeah, exactly. So just giving you something that sort of brings it all back in together is really good. So is there any that you can think of? I've given two so far. So is there anything from games? It can be something that's in loads of games if you like. I mean, something that even has been adopted as just what it is or how something works now, if you want.
Well, the one I am glad of, and it started in Gears of War, is actually taking cover. Because I remember, like, in sort of previous, especially shooting games, it was, if you wanted to sort of hide behind a wall or something, you just sort of stood there with your gun drawn, and it was, you know, it didn't look particularly great. And then yeah. Gears of War sort of brought in this whole, you know, press A, you just sort of hunch down behind a
snap to cover.
Fallen wall or something like that.
Yeah.
You can sort of go between posts and stuff like that. And, you know, it's now been taken on by, you know, pretty much every third-person shooter. I don't know why they didn't bring it in earlier, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, snap to cover, it's total, it's something that we totally take for granted now. I mean, there's a similar mechanic in Fallout 4 as well. If you're playing it first person, there's actually a cover mechanic in Fallout 4 that a lot of people don't realise. I actually don't think I ever used it, but I knew it existed. Where if you're actually looking down your sights, you can pop behind cover. So, it's something that is absolutely, like, totally taken for granted now. Aside from Gears of War, I mean, I suppose the only game that probably came close to it beforehand, you could maybe argue, was XCOM, I guess, but then it's a totally different type of game, so it doesn't even count that your guy is automatically running into cover. That's a really good one, actually. Really good one. If we go sort of, like, I don't know, if we go further back, we'd even sort of say about, like, the 3D sandbox. You know, if you look at, like, the original Grand Theft Auto 3, I don't know why I said the original Grand Theft Auto 3 there. the only Grand Theft Auto 3. I don't know. I mean, certainly some of probably the younger listeners, if there are any younger listeners, or if you're all sort of older men like ourselves. I'm not that old, I'm 32, it's fine. But, you know, I remember playing GTA 3 for the first time and thinking how I couldn't believe what I was playing. Like, it was a living, breathing city. At least then it was, you know. I mean, what was that? It was, 15 years ago, I think? 2001, 2002 for GTA 3, I think.
Bloody hell, yeah, must be at least.
It's that sort of thing. I'm actually just going to quickly check that. Of course, my internet's playing silly buggers. Yeah, October 2001, Grand Theft Auto 3 came out. So, in the last 16 years, 15 and a half years, to make it seem less scary, we're at a point where you know, games like Watch Dogs 2 are coming out. Watch Dogs 2 is by no means a terrible game, but the amount of work and effort and what's preceded it to get to having that interesting a city, because I'll put it out there, actually. I think Watch Dogs San Francisco is probably a more interesting city to wander around than the majority of Grand Theft Auto 5. Because you're kind of forced to look at things a little bit more, you know? You're kind of forced to go down little side streets and back alleys, and there's people there and they're doing things. Like, there's... I didn't complete Watch Dogs 2. I probably played about, like, a third of it. But I don't think I really was conscious of seeing the same interesting NPCs. You know, if you drive around San Andreas long enough, you're going to be like, there's black hair, blue shirt, red trousers guy. Okay, that's a given. Like, there's only so many combinations of parts that they can make to make all these people unique. But just, yeah, going from how GTA 3 properly, like, blew me away to what we get now is just, it's astounding. And yeah, I mean, it's I think it's something that we all take for granted, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously, you know, we all know by now there's a lot of work goes into them, but yeah, just like sometimes you think it's almost like a photo, some of these cities.
Yeah.
They're so realistic. And yeah, I'll just, you know, when I look at, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, like Victorian London was incredible how much they packed into it. You know, down to even like sort of little alleyways and through people's houses and stuff.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, they were trying to make up a bit for Unity, so maybe they put in a bit of extra effort just in case, but still, like, even Unity, looking at it, you know, it was bloody good.
Yeah, I think Unity gets a bit of unfair rap. I quite liked it. I loved Syndicate. I honestly would say, see it. I'm going to discount Black Flag from this conversation, because the year that came out, it was my game of the year. I was still at 411 Mania at that point in time. That was my game of the year. I believe it was beaten out by Tomb Raider that year. Black Flag is probably one of my favourite video games of all time. I loved everything about it. The sort of quote unquote remastered version we've got on the Xbox One is like, it still now looks incredible. Like the water effects, everything, like, just absolutely mind blowing. So taking Black Flag out of the equation, I'm going to remove that from being like an Assassin's Creed game. I think that out of the other ones, I think Syndicate's in, you know, probably one of the top. Probably argue it top three quite easily. It's probably not as good as Brotherhood, but I think it'd be hard to argue anything as being really much better than it out of the remaining games, to be honest.
It depends how you look at it, really, because I mean, a lot of people, you know, myself included, would say Assassin's Creed 2 probably was the one to bring the whole franchise to the forefront.
Yeah.
You know, I did play the original when it came out, and as good as it was, there was something missing from it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I couldn't ever quite place my finger on it, but then 2 came out, and it was like, you know, yes, this is how it should have been.
Yeah. Do you know what? I would actually, I think I'm going to rescind my comment there. I'm going to say that I'd probably say 2 is my favourite, and I would tie Brotherhood and Syndicate together at second. If I'm actually being forced to. I think that your point on two is absolutely spot on. And see, playing them back in the Ezio collection, I was sad when two was finished. And I don't know if it was maybe overkill or whatever, but a lot of what I really liked about Assassin's Creed 2, I thought was Brotherhood. And you know, when I was looking back upon my experience with the franchise. Excuse me. So, it's... People are kind of unfair in a lot of things. Like, yeah, Unity kind of was a bit shit. But I think it's like, well, look at Andromeda. You know, if they'd listened to the people who were criticizing Unity and cancelled Assassin's Creed, we wouldn't have got Syndicate, which is an absolute return to form for the series. And by all accounts, whatever this new one is, Assassin's Creed Egypt or something, from the rumors, it looks bloody spectacular. Like, there's no two ways about it. This game is going to be unreal.
It looks like they're bringing back the sort of naval warfare aspect as well.
Yeah. Like, this is just... Oh, I can't wait.
I think them taking a year off from Assassin's Creed was probably the smartest thing they could have done.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, I know that the movie came out. The movie is unfortunately kind of shit. I really, really hope that this is a return to form for the series. I really do. And I think it's going to be, because Syndicate was great. It's just people are now kind of turning on Ubisoft a little bit. Because... There's actually now quite a lot of problems coming up around like the Wildlands servers. You guys will know if you've been listening that I'm completely hooked on this game. I finished the main story. I want to 100% it. So I'm going back to do all the extra little bits and bobs that I can. But the guys I play with, like, we're having to redo missions because they didn't get the credit for doing them the first time round and stuff. Sometimes it's hard to even like match make with your friends, you know, I hope that people give this the benefit of the doubt and actually buy this game, despite the fact that they may hate Ubisoft or whatever. But do you know what? How many companies are there really are publishing games just now? You know, how many people are actually making and publishing AAA titles?
Well, what have you got? Ubisoft, EA...
Argue Rockstar, but they're not punting out a lot of stuff.
No, they do one every, what, 2 or 3 years?
Exactly. So...
So, yeah, you've got two, really. Ubisoft and EA.
Yeah. So, exactly. It's just... Yeah, it's mental. So people need to just accept the fact that, you know, not every single game can be Overwatch or World of Warcraft or Dota or whatever. You know, accept this. If you're going to play games on consoles, you're going to have to buy Ubisoft products at some point if you want to buy games. So suck it up, enjoy what we have, because in 16 years since all of us were put into, oh my god, what was the city in, oh, it was Liberty City, of course it was.
Liberty, yeah.
Liberty City in Grand Theft Auto. In the 16 years since we first set foot in Liberty City, I think we take too much for granted, you know? I think there's too much that we just don't appreciate with games anymore.
And I also think, because games have become so much bigger, that there's more to nitpick about. So the problems that maybe there were in, I don't know, GTA 3 that, you know, people sort of overlooked because, you know, we've got a good game here, we'll let that slide. Nowadays it's, you know, oh, that's wrong, they should do something about that, and oh, we need a patch for that, and oh, that will be, you know, a DLC or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, you know, there's never going to be a 100% perfect game.
No.
I don't think there ever will be.
No, exactly. I mean, even the games that people try and argue are 100% perfect games. I mean, we'll take The Witcher as an example. The Witcher 3. I recently, after our conversation about realizing that there was nothing coming out for the rest of the year other than Mordor, I got The Witcher 3 again. I can't remember if it was the day of that or anyway. I still can't get into it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's too big. I don't know if it's too in-depth. I just can't get into it. So if there's still something about a game that's turning people off, it's not a perfect game, no matter how much you think it is. I think Fallout 3 is a perfect game, personally, but I realise it isn't. I realise that it's buggy, and I understand why people complain about it. Yeah, I just this has now turned into an absolute tirade against the gaming community, hasn't it?
No, I think we're sort of pointing out what's wrong with what other people perceive.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other thing that's kind of problematic as well is people not giving like new IPs a decent chance as well. I know it's, well, okay, two examples, actually, I'd probably give you three examples. The first one, just as a sports game, Steep. Really, really, really accomplished game. It's great fun, there's a lot to do in it, sold like shit. People just weren't interested. Yeah, I get that snowboarding and stuff is quite a niche market, but are you telling me that everybody who had Cool Boarders 2 back in the day...
I loved that game.
Yeah, so everyone loved Cool Boarders 2. If you can find me someone who played it that didn't love it, then I'll give you a pound, an internet pound. but, you know, are you telling me that all those people watched X Games or cared about who Mark McMorris was or Sean White, literally naming the only two snowboarders I can think of? So, yeah, like, people buy games to have fun. Steep was a whole lot of fun. Other one I'm going to hit up is ReCore as well. That was really good.
See, I'm probably guilty of putting that off, actually, for that reason, is that I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, no, it's weird. Like, I kind of went for it because it was really cheap on like Black Friday or something. I will also concede I've not completed it. Other things came out and it kind of got punted, but I'm definitely going to go back to it. There's a lot to like about it. Like you had a robot dog. Who doesn't like robot dogs? You know, you could upgrade your robot dog. That's even better. It's even better. Man's best friend. Games with dogs are always better. So, yeah, there's your Fallout thing back again. Get dog meat. Makes it a better game. yeah, you know, like ReCore, really, really good. The third one, and it's not so much of a new IP, but a new approach to it, was Hitman. Last year's Hitman.
Oh, yeah, it was more episodic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's only just not long been released.
I've never liked Hitman.
See, I suck at stealth games. This is my problem. I am absolutely rotten at stealth games. So when it came to Hitman Absolution, and that blew me away, I was like, wow, well, maybe I do like stealth games. And that actually led to me like buying the Metal Gear Solid collection that was out on 360 around the same sort of time, because I didn't like Metal Gear Solid because I didn't like stealth games. So I thought, well, maybe I wasn't mature enough to do it. It was nothing about maturity. I suck at stealth. I don't know if you follow the like gaming pages on Facebook, but there's this sort of memes about like, you know, it's like when the mission says stealth optional and it's got like the bit from The Matrix where it's like got all the guns in his duffel bags. Yeah. Like, that's me. That's what I do. That's what I need to do.
Run and gun all day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, Hitman is pretty good. But this one is really difficult, actually. But it's weird because there's like challenge aspects to it and stuff. So even if you don't do what you are aiming to do, you're still kind of progressing a little bit, and it makes you want to repeat things. And the fact that it was episodic meant that you didn't just batter through the levels to complete the game. You know, it kind of gave you a bit more of a spur. I think it really increased the lifetime of the game. I'm not saying that I want everyone or every game to suddenly become episodic by any means, but I think with Hitman, I think it really works. And I like the fact that they're saying it's like the first season, so I think they're going to continue with it. And listen, any game that lets you assassinate Gary Busey, that's good. That is good. So yeah, is there anything that you think was really underrated? Any games that you know?
Going back to the whole episodic thing, actually, I really like sort of Telltale games, Walking Dead, Game of Thrones. New Guardians of the Galaxy is Telltale, and it's only had the first episode out so far, but it's pretty good. Recently started playing Life is Strange. I don't know if you've ever seen it or heard of it.
Yeah, I played it, loved it. Really good game. I've got the collector's edition.
It was on the flash sale for like £4 or something.
I saw that, yeah.
I'll give that a go. And I've got two episodes through, and I'm like, this is actually sort of a lot better than I thought it would be.
Oh, yeah.
Because I always thought, Telltale were the undisputed kings of the episodic story-based game and stuff like that. I've started playing it, and it's quite a sort of deep story as well.
Yeah, it's really cool, yeah.
Good characters and, everything you want out of that type of game.
It's a shame you didn't get the physical release of it. Because it had I can't remember the main character's name now, but it had like a kind of diary thing there. In with the box and stuff. It's actually a really cool set. Just little things like this isn't a spoiler in any way, but like once you complete the game, you can go back and take the photographs, Max, that's her name, that Max missed throughout the game. So it's ends up being quite an easy 100% title. I know that all the Telltale games tend to be like easy platinums.
It's basically you've completed this chapter of this episode, and that's all the achievements.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really good game. I completely agree with that. Another new IP, a type of game from someone that you wouldn't expect it to come from. I want to say that's Ubisoft as well now I'm thinking about it. I'd need to go and check, and I can't be bothered. what else is there that you can think of that slipped under your radar? Slipped under other people's radars, but been on yours? What have you, is there anything else that you really loved that you just wish there was more love for?
I don't know. Honestly, because I tend to, if I like a game, I do me, and if you don't like it, then that's up to you. But, I really can't think.
No.
I don't think of games like that, to be honest.
One I would say that, just so you can have a little bit more thought while I sort of ramble a little bit longer, genuinely, one of the games I've had the most fun with this decade was Dante's Inferno. I realise it's a complete God of War clone. I thought it was absolutely unbelievably good. It's the only game, or one of the only games, beg your pardon, for years that I have just played through again for the sheer joy of playing it again. Sometimes I need an incentive like Grand Theft Auto 5 and Shadow of Mordor. I played through again on Game of the Year edition for Mordor because it was new achievements. It was a good excuse to play it again. GTA 5, I replayed like 60% of the game because obviously it was updated to Xbox One. But there's not really anything else that I've really been like, I have to play that again. Dante's Inferno, I think I played again as soon as I finished it. It's absolutely brilliant. And the DLC had like a level creator as well. It's not on backwards compatible, I don't think. There's no sign of Visceral Games. I don't even know what they're doing anymore. I think
they've closed down, haven't they?
I think they have, yeah, because they were...
They went the way of like Lionhead and stuff, and they just went...
Oh, Lionhead, man, why did you have to say that when we're coming towards the end of the show? As much as Peter Molyneux overpromises, like, Lionhead had so many great games. Like, so many good games come out of Lionhead. I think this is another show for another time, to be honest. Like, dead developers. Like, I could probably talk for half an hour without you about Bullfrog. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm always happy to have you on the show. But yeah, oh man, that's a good idea. We'll pencil that in for a fortnight, shall we? So yeah, is there anything else just before we kill it for the evening? Is there anything else that you think is being overlooked in terms of what people should be enjoying in games at the moment, or anything you'd change or embrace or anything that you can think of?
I don't know. I think in regards to what people should or shouldn't enjoy is a bit... I don't know. I don't like to say that, you know, because I have, like, you know, so many people say, oh, you've got to play Fallout and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't like Fallout. What? You know, they just...
Wait,
surprise
what?
In their voice. Like, I'm like, I can't help not liking it. I've tried. I have tried playing it. Didn't like it. It's... You know, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
I think maybe if we got a bit less of that sort of attitude, that games would stick around for longer.
Yeah.
Because I think they try now anyway to cater for a wider audience rather than concentrate on what made them great in the first place. But, you know, I know that's the way it goes sometimes, so.
Well, I mean, no, it's a good... You make a good point there, I think. I mean, even if you look at, like, the Dark Souls community, I mean, like, I watched a YouTube video about how poisonous the Dark Souls community can be, and it very much does fall into the, you know, get good kind of thing. Like, I don't want to play Dark... I don't want to grind my way through games. I don't have enough time to game that I want to spend 3.5 days... taking on one boss and continually dying at it. Like, it's not fun for me. Also, when I played the first Dark Souls, I actually just thought the whole control scheme sucked. And when I brought this up to someone, I was like, look, it plays like shit. And they're like, that's kind of the point. Fucking kind of the point. Yeah, it makes it harder, but it doesn't make it good harder. Like, that's not really a thing. Also, it sounds a little bit weird if I say good harder.
yeah, we'll smooth over that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I know what you mean. Like,
but yeah, they were saying like the third one's too easy.
If someone loves a game that much, you try to tell them what you don't like about it, and it's just like you've spit at their children or something.
Yeah, I don't have children. I don't know if that would anger me or not. I think it depends on what the children were doing at the time. Yeah.
Right, then spit at your cat.
Oh wow! Don't you dare! Don't you dare! I'll kill you. But yeah, I think a pretty good place to end it. I think there is making up weird sort of innuendos and talking about spitting at cats. Yeah, if you want to tweet us, Out After Dark 216 for me, The Grim Fish for Liam. Give us a shout if you think that we are being naive about something, if you think that there's anything that you think of while listening to this, please let us know. We're really interested to hear your thoughts. If there's something that you think was massively overlooked from gaming history that you think, well, why did that not become like part of this genre? You know, why didn't that become the next, snap to cover? Why did it not become the next 3D world in terms of advancement? So please let us know. Otherwise, make sure you're checking the Radulichian Broadcasting Network for all of your geek life needs, movie reviews, whatever you want. It's all on the Radulichian Broadcasting Network. And if you want to hear Two Scots Drinking Lots, the Halloween Havoc 2000 review part 2 is over on fpgnews.com right now. So I did pretty well defending the show, to be honest with you. Wasn't awful. Fight me. But yes, that's also Liam. Any final words for everyone?
Life is Strange was Square Enix.
Yes, that's. I knew it was
I had to find it out.
I knew it was a pretty big developer. Yeah, that was it.
Well, correct. It was the developer was Don't Nod Entertainment, and it was published by Square. So,
Yes.
Basically, they cleaned it up a bit.
Cool. Yes. yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. So yeah, was that your final words?
yeah. Can't think of anything else.
Excellent. Well, there you go. Square Enix. Who'd have thought it?
This is pretty much how I spend half my life, to be honest.
Well, everyone, thank you again for listening. You will hear us in another week's time where we are turning up the vitriol. We are going to have the same sort of chat, but about things that have stuck around that are horrible features. So again, anything that you can think of, send us a tweet, give us a shout, let us know. And yeah, everyone, peace out. See you in 7 days.